Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Mostly Horror early and ad-free on Amazon Music.
Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Mostly Horror Movie Night.
Mostly.
Don't change the channel. Don't fix your dial. That's the sound of Sean Parker's lovely voice. He's back.
I'm back, baby.
On the show. It's been what seems like forever, Sean.
Yeah.
Very it's glad. Very glad that you're back.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Nice. great mind. See, we're in sync already. Yes. Right back at it. Yeah, dude, I was gone for a month. I sound cheery. You didn't go into any details, but if the people on here follow me on TikTok or anything, I did. We had a loss in my family. My grandma died. I'm not going to get too into it because it'll turn into the cry cast really quick.
Yeah.
I will cry. I will cry. Yeah. If it's an ugly cry. They've seen it. I've been crying every single day for over a month. Unfortunately my grandma did pass, and, you know, she raised me, but I felt like I got to say a little bit of something on here because A, we're all a family here, and B, yeah. You know, she was just one of my biggest like supporters and thought that this was really cool. She's not a horror fan. You know, I got her to watch a couple things with me in the past, but either way, she thought that all of this was really cool and was really stoked for both of us, was proud of both of us. So with that,
we'll tie up that session. So so if you guys are listening to this either in the future or as soon as this episode comes out, if you've been listening to our episodes, you know that I've been hosting some interviews solo dolo, but Sean's back from this point on. We got a game with our friend Chelsea on this episode, and so it's all Steve and Sean all the time. Unless I want to take a break, and then maybe I'll make Sean do it by himself. We'll see what happens. But since Sean has been gone, there's been a lot of what?
Well, can I say, I have to say this. I think we've kind of had a couple talks about it, but can I just say a little golf clap for you, man? Seriously, dude, I was thinking about it. I was like, damn, if Steve had to dip for a certain amount of time, could I do all these by myself? I was like, the organization is hard enough. But just like, You handled those episodes really well, like a one-on-one interview. You killed it, and thanks for holding down the fort.
It was definitely a thing. It's tough because I feel like we have this balance now that we've worked out where just a little peek behind the curtain. Like if I'm done with a question or I don't know where else to take a question, I don't then have to find a segue because I can kind of give the nonverbal nod to Sean and he will pick up the next question or vice versa. And so we're able to really organically continue a conversation without feeling a lot of stress. I think, at least personally. So when we're doing these interviews, I'm like, loved talking to Xanthi, Zakia, Chelsea, and Chloe. But you know, there's moments just naturally when you're interviewing someone where you're like, okay, well, I don't know a way to segue this part. And right. it's so much easier when you can alley-oop the interview question to the next person. And then it feels like it flows seamlessly. So exactly. I'm sure things sounded great. I, you know, the interviews, I loved doing them. Loved talking to all those great ladies, but yeah, it's definitely like the like flow was weird. I had to get used to something different.
Yeah. So. Well, it's because also it's like, you know, we sit there and we prep our questions together and we both yeah. bring different things. And then when they're answering, you know, you'll take it in a certain direction, which will make me think about something that I wasn't going to think about. So it's just like the more people you have talking and then with how we know how each other work, it 100% glues together. So I would imagine yeah. that it was hard.
And it's just my brain. It was just my brain. You know right. what I mean? Like it wasn't both of us thinking about things to ask. It was just yes. me thinking. So, right. But it was good. I love those conversations that I was able to have. So
yeah, good episodes,
but yeah, I appreciate it. The fort was held. All right. So a lot of things have happened in the month since you've been gone, but there's a number of things that have happened even within the past couple of days that I want to talk about.
Yep.
So I'm hosting the next part of this intro. I just want to float some things your way. If it's a trailer that you haven't seen or a teaser or something, we'll take a brief intermission so you can watch it. We can talk about it, but sure. I just want to get your thoughts on some things. So something that happened today that I didn't know was happening is Matilda. So yeah. Matilda the musical was a big musical on the West End. I think it mm-hmm. came to New York for some time some years ago. I know it did. And very good. It's where what's her face that plays Millie Shapiro. She was in from Hereditary. Millie Shapiro from Hereditary. The main girl.
Yeah, but yeah,
she played Matilda. She was one of the Matildas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's kind of where she got her like start, I think.
Nice.
But anyways, Netflix is doing an adaptation. It looks cool, but I mean, I like the music of the musical I've heard before. Mm-hmm. But it's an adaptation of the musical into a movie. How do you feel about it?
So, okay. First off, and I think I've mentioned this before, I fucking love Matilda. I love it's Matilda. So dude, the 90s movie Matilda is amazing. Yeah. And Mrs.
Directed
Honey
by
is
Danny Vito.
Directed by Danny fucking listen. Oh, that movie's so good. Mrs. Honey's hot as shit. I just got to say it. Mrs. Honey, Mrs. Honey, dude. My whole life I've had a crush on Mrs. Honey. Miss Honey. And Trunchbull's terrifying. So I think we've even talked about this before where I think that I'm never mad at remakes. We've had that discussion, but yeah. I think I've even brought up with Matilda that I thought it would be kind of fun to get like a slightly darker take. And I know that everybody's kind of tired of that, like taking everything in a dark. I'm always gritty. Curious to see that. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be like gritty, just like a darker, whatever. It felt like it could be fun. So to see that it's being revisited, but via the musical side is really interesting to me. I had no clue until I saw your tweet today. I've never heard the music. I've never seen the musical. So I don't know. I will say that seeing the young actress who's playing Matilda in the movie was mm-hmm. interesting for me just to see someone else's face.
Someone else do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm down to like, I'm for sure going to watch it. Trunchbull looks wild. Yeah. And it looks like they're at least willing to have, you know, some dark humored fun because the last thing that she says, like at the end of the teaser is, well, someone check and make sure that child's still alive see if that child's still alive. Love that. I'm very curious to see what the Chokey looks like. I think that's my biggest curiosity, which is strange.
Yep.
But yeah, I just want to.
I like Emma Thompson as Trunchbull. She looks great. I thought that they did that well. And they obviously drop, you know, they drop like the cake scene and the swinging the pigtails scene, like all that sort of stuff. I had no idea that it was coming out. So when the trailer came out, I was like, holy crap. But yeah, I think it'll be good. The music's just very fun. Like it's like a very fun musical and like so kid based. So I feel like it'll be like more of a focus on the children in the film. Even outside of Matilda, which is cool.
Right. It sure seems like the type of thing. Like I'm not mad. I mean, I like musicals. I don't love musicals for the sake of musicals, but when you think of the story of Matilda, it makes sense that I feel like it's the type of thing that you can explore and that we should re-explore time and time again. There should be other versions of it later down the line. I just think that that's
anything
fun.
A lot of Roald Dahl's properties have musical capabilities, and like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was turned into a musical. Like,
yeah,
you know, they're all, I feel like a lot of them could be. All right, so that was today. Something that some news that's come out within the past couple of weeks, a couple of things about Scream 6, or as I would call it, Scrix.
Yeah. Currently. We got to talk about that.
The big thing, there's a couple of things. Do we want to start with the small things or the big things?
Well, I guess let's work our way up to, right. Yeah, let's.
So some small news. Dermot Mulroney, who is Russell from New Girl. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's playing, I think, a police officer in the new movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. Signed
on. Yeah.
Nice.
I want to sit at that desk and veto a law.
Yeah. the only man that we've both ever loved.
Yeah. He said something like, when I put my hands on this desk, I feel sexually proficient for the first time in my life.
He goes, dude, in the end credits, he's like, This is President Nick of Earth. I'd like to speak to the ambassador of the galaxy. And he pauses for a minute and he goes, of course it's about money.
Dermot Mulroney is gonna be in the movie. Also, it's being shot in Canada right now, but nice. It looks like it's set in New York City. There's photos from the set shows you know, New York City cop cars, fire stations, things like that. New York license plates, even. So that will be fun. Ghostface Takes Manhattan is kind of a cool like premise.
Yeah.
And I mean, not like the other Scream, only two out of the other four Scream movies, well, I guess three out of five take place in Woodsboro. Like the other ones are at a college. And then the other one is in like Hollywood, essentially.
Right. I'm entirely open to them doing it in different places. That's not the type of thing that upsets me by any means. I feel like it makes sense, you know what I mean? To push it. The whole premise of this franchise, it makes sense to keep making them and to push it. So I have no anger there. I think that's kind of cool, especially since we're here now. Let's be extras on the movie. You said they're filming it.
I think they're filming it in Vancouver right now. Right. So I don't know if we can be extras, but maybe they'll shoot some fill-ins in New York, which would be so sick. But the big news, at a convention, someone asked Neve Campbell if she was going to be in the new Scream movie, and she said no. And then after that spread across the internet, she followed it up with a statement basically saying that they offered her X amount of money, and she didn't think it was fitting for her, you know, her role in the Scream films. Yeah. I'm curious what you think about that.
Okay. So there's just a lot of things to think about it. First off, it sounds to me like it's incredibly sexist. It sounds like there's an issue there. Like I really liked what Matthew Lillard had to say about it. I don't know if you saw his tweet. Did you see his tweet at all? No. So he said, did Tom Cruise take less money from Top Gun Maverick? Fuck no, dude. So why is a woman supposed to take less? Why wouldn't you pay her more as the series goes on? Was Scream 5 a hit or not a hit? It was a smash hit. Did they make a shit ton of money? Yes. Should Neve Campbell be paid for the work she's done in five movies of a franchise? Yes, because she's a female lead of one of the most successful horror movie franchises. And he's absolutely right. I can't imagine that she was asking for a ridiculous amount. Like I feel like what she was asking for is probably very justified. And even if she's milking it a bit, studios should pay. I think it's important enough. You can't, you know, I'm not like a purist in the sense that I think that they could never make a Scream movie without her, but I do think that you need to at least close her story, which they did not do. So I think that there needs to be a reason for it. I did not feel that there was it felt like we're going to get more. I feel like both her and Courtney Cox are going to be in the next one. There's a reason. I have a theory. I don't want to like, whatever, but I think that she was going to be in the next two movies and then.
So I think that, a couple of things. I mean, I think that, payment in Hollywood is sexist, and it's like ingrained in in the way that Hollywood is. You know, women, I mean, ingrained in the way that everything is. Women always get paid less than men, and it's unfortunate. And it's just, you know, I think people calling it out makes complete sense. I feel like comparing it to Top Gun and Tom Cruise, maybe not so much. But I get what Matthew Lillard is saying. I also, you know, I get why she wants the money she wants. She was the face of the franchise and is still an integral part of it, even in the fifth movie. But I think that you can easily do Scream without Sydney. I think that like the fifth film didn't need her. Like it was a cool, you know, thing that they did, like making things go full circle, like absolutely. And like, you know, the plot kind of also partially revolves around her too, but I don't think so. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think that her leaving is going to affect things that much. Like I think that it even helps, like creating a new, if you want to expand on this, you don't have to rely on Sydney the entire time. Like that's kind of part of the new Halloween movies that is like killing me, is they rely on Laurie so much, you know what I mean? Like it's so it's so reliant on that aspect of the story, which is a whole nother conversation and for whatever reason. But I think that they can make it without Nev, and I think that it's honestly better if they don't focus on Nev. All of that is to say, I think that she should get whatever she asks as long as it's reasonable. You know, it's not half the budget, whatever. Because yeah, I while I think that they kind of tied a, they didn't really tie a bow, but they ended things in a way where it was like, I don't want to do this shit again, you know, like can't believe we're still doing this again, like that sort of thing. They didn't, you know, tie them up with a good wrapping up of everything. But I still think that moving forward the series will be better if they don't focus on Nev.
So okay, let me put it, I understand what you're saying.
Put it lightly.
No. I understand what you're saying. I really do. I agree that if we're going to continue to make more and more Scream movies, which I'm down for because it is such a commentary, it doesn't feel like the absolute exhaustion. Right. You do have to keep trying new things. I'm down for that. It's a series that I think you can have a lot of fun with. But so far, every movie has revolved around her. This newest one is the only one that didn't completely revolve around her, really. And but even then, they tied it together. And I thought that that was kind of like that took some getting used to. And so I'm open to this direction that they're going and even getting away from Sydney, though a big part of like the impact of these movies is the idea that this keeps happening to the same person, because it's almost like a commentary on like copycat killers. And well, I mean, it is, and people just becoming obsessed with an idea, like wanting to get involved in the story. So she was like a really big glue to that. I feel like when you start turning it into like, what do? Do they make each movie with like a different lead after that? Or do we pick a new person to focus on for another, however many movies? I'm curious to see.
I think it's definitely, God, I can't remember the other actress's name, but Jenna Ortega and her sister. God, I suck. Hold on 2 seconds. Jenna Ortega and I feel like her name's like Samantha. Oh, I'm the worst.
It's understandable. Jenna Ortega stole that whole fucking movie. She stole the show, dude.
Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are going to be in Scream 5. So it's definitely revolving, you know, around those sisters. I hope it focuses 100% on Jenna.
Yes.
But they need to tie in the mythology. There's a mythology to
this.
But so they just have to figure out where it goes.
Exactly. And I think that I'm even down. I agree. It doesn't need to have Sydney involved in each little one. But where we ended last time does not feel like a good enough wrap up. There needs to be something that feels like a true passing of the torch for me to not be painfully aware that the only reason she's not in it is because you didn't want to pay her. And I think that with that in mind, don't just think about this next movie, but think about the other movies that you want to fucking make and pay her what the fuck she wants. She probably got underpaid in the other ones. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it is a series that she, that would not be what it is without her. So I think she deserves what she's asking for, most likely. Just the same way that, John.
You're talking about Homie from Futurama?
Yeah, DiMaggio. Yeah. The same way that we got him back on board, I need that moment with Neve Campbell. Even if we wrap it up in this movie, I honestly thought that that Courtney Cox's character was going to die in this next movie, and that Sydney was either going to die in the one after that, or was going to have some final victory where you know that she'll never be involved again. But that's just what I saw happening.
Maybe we'll get that one day. Maybe she'll sign on. I wonder if like this threw a big wrench in the plans of like Matt and Tyler, like
probably.
And they're like, well, we don't have a character now,
right? Which I was about to say, that must suck, because you know it's not them that's deciding on that money. It's tough.
I agree. God, which one do I? All right, Sean. pick out of these. Pick out of these letters. All right, G, P, M, L, or W.
I'm gonna pick W because I think it's a perfect segue from where we're going. It is a
perfect segue. Yeah. We've got the first little teaser of Jenna Ortega as Wednesday.
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
I'm stoked, man. I know that a lot of people have different opinions on it. You know, it's interesting to see from the original illustrations to the 60s show to the 90s movies to some of the animated things that they've done, how culturally we have begun to really focus on Wednesday Addams. But I think people need to realize that like this isn't an Addams Family remake. It is something that's focusing on Wednesday, and it's just an exploration. Like you're still going to have everything that you had before. Jenna Ortega is an amazing actress. I'm excited to see her doing more spooky things. Just keep doing it, and I feel like it's going to be fun. I just can't imagine that it's not going to be fun.
So one thing that I hope is, speaking of musicals, which we're going to talk about. We've talked about once already, and we're going to continue to talk about the Addams Family musical is phenomenal. It's one of my favorite musicals that I've ever seen, and it's very much focused on Wednesday. The entire story is built around Wednesday. You get stuff from the rest of the family. There's songs without Wednesday, but her decisions are the driving they drive the plot of the musical. I really hope that they do that with this. I hope that it's Wednesday focused. I hope that it's new feeling, and I also hope that it doesn't start and instantly feel like it was shot on like a blue stage. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I hope that they built a fucking cool ass huge house that they could rip the top off of and film. I hope that they really, I just hope that it's the Tim Burton that I love and not the Tim Burton that I've grown to not care about.
Yeah.
So agreed. We'll see what happens. He has the Netflix money. You know, he seems to have creative control like out the wazoo, you know, with what he's doing almost to a fault, but I just really, really, really hope it doesn't look bad. That's my one thing.
Agreed. I'm afraid of. No, 100%. I guess that one thing that made me feel a little bit better was Thing looked pretty cool.
Looked cool.
Thing looked, it didn't look awful. Now, granted, it was in the dark. It wasn't a lot of lighting that could really expose,
and you don't have to do a lot you don't have to do a lot of CGI stuff.
No,
you really don't.
No.
It's Addams Family. You got to have fucking crazy, you know, dangerous shit happening, and you need to have cool costume design.
Yeah.
Which if it's what's her fucking name? Hold on 2 seconds. I keep searching for things because I can't think of names. Here, I'm going to tell you who I need the costume designer to be, and I'm going to look up and see if she's the costume designer. So Tim Burton's costume designer on almost everything, who I can't seem to find the name of currently, but also the costume designer for Welcome to the Black Parade, Colleen Atwood is her name. She did a lot of most of Tim Burton's films. She's the costume designer. The costumes are amazing. She also did the very iconic Black Parade costumes for My Chemical Romance. If Colleen is doing the costumes for the Addams Family, then I'm at least very confident about that. Because, okay, it looks like she is. She did the costume design for Wednesday. So that makes me happy because she kills it. So.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, it's, I just don't want it to be, I want it to look good, and I don't want it to be, and this is, it is, this show is not for us. The show is for teens. The show is for teens.
Is it?
Probably.
I don't know.
It's, probably. In my head, I think that they're like, we want another teen drama thing. I don't want it to feel like that, but I'm assuming that it is for the, it is for, there's like a movement of like spooky witchy culture that is being just embraced, and it, overall, but particularly like young women that are there's like a with a new uprising in like women's rights.
Occultism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like an empowering thing. And Wednesday is sort of a character in that of That's going fair. Against everything that is. So I feel like a lot of young women, younger girls really attach themselves to Wednesday. Also Wednesday is a great character. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I just hope that it's great and that it doesn't fall victim to a lot of the cliches of other things and not giving these people what they actually want.
The other spooky family, we're doing great segues. The other spooky family that had a little teaser. I don't know if, did you see the Munsters teaser that came out?
I didn't. I saw the picture. I saw the, like the image, but I didn't see any video. So,
take a brief pause.
Give me a good goddamn. So far, it seems like it could be fun.
I'm curious to see something Rob Zombie that's rated PG. I like how good it looks, like how good it looks.
Yeah.
And I just hate that it's on Peacock.
Yeah, no, that's
just
true.
The dumbest thing in the whole world to me.
I mean, I have access to Peacock, but but yeah, so we can watch it. But
not a lot
I agree.
Of people do.
I think it's gonna, I want it to be fun, and I trust him, and you know, it, not everything that he hits is out of the park, but he always hits it, and he loves this series so fucking much that I just don't see him fucking it up, man. And I know that a lot of people are really weird about Sherry Moon, you know, I don't know. It's either going to be for you or it's not. It's Rob Zombie's The Munsters. So if you really can't, if you don't like Rob Zombie, you're not going to like it. No matter how much you like
or
the Munsters.
Maybe you will. Maybe.
Maybe.
That's what he's aiming for. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll see. All right. Got a couple of other things to talk about. Did you see the trailer for Prey?
I did. I watched it today.
You did. What do you think?
I'm honestly excited about it. And I don't give a shit about Predator.
Me too, dude.
Yeah, like, I'm not a big Predator person. Predator's cool looking. If you throw a Predator movie on, I'm down. But like, you know, it's fine. This looks great.
It looks so good. So it's directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who did 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is... you know, horror adjacent. It's in the Cloverfield family.
Yeah.
And also it's just a great film. It's enthralling.
Yeah.
I also like that. I think they're going to release a cut of this that's in like Comanche, like in the Comanche language. Because it's all Native American, which is super fucking cool. I just think it looks sick. It's a Hulu original film, which again, it'd be cool to see it in a theater. It's a big action movie, and it'd be cool to see it in the theater, not Hulu, but I guess we'll see.
Agreed. Cameron, I don't know if this is true, but I'm pretty sure that Cameron told me that this is the first movie that's ever going to have that language like dubbed.
Yes, it's the first full Comanche dub.
Yeah, which that is cool as shit.
It's awesome because when that came out, I was talking to one of my coworkers, I think, and I was like, I I almost would have rather they do the entire film in a different language and have subtitles than have like,
yeah,
like Native American in a period piece, Native Americans in a period piece speaking English. Like, it just feels off to me. But, you know, suspension of disbelief. And if they're doing a whole Comanche dub, then it's super fucking cool.
Right.
And I'm glad that they're doing it. It's an awesome thing to do. I'm glad we're on the same page. I think it looks fucking sick.
It looks really fun. Predator's got a new mask. That's all I got to say. And we didn't even get a look at it. But I'm down. Well, I guess he's got an old mask that's new to us. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So two last things. They're mostly, they're not horror. The first one, quite possibly the strangest news I've seen in a long time. The sequel to Joker is going to be called Joker Folie à Deux, which Folie à Deux is a phenomenal album that came out, I believe, in 2012 by Fall Out Boy before they broke up. Wonderful album. Folie à Deux means the madness of two. And it's like a French, obviously a French saying about an actual like disorder.
Mm-hmm. When two people seem to fall into the same delusions and psychosis.
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously Joaquin Phoenix is in this movie, and reported a couple days ago, Lady Gaga is in talks.
To be
Harley Quinn in this movie that is going to be a musical.
Fuck it.
I'm not gonna say bad things. I don't love Lady Gaga in movies. I don't. She wasn't my favorite in House of Gucky. I didn't love her. And I don't. Harley Quinn, I don't care about the universes and multiple people can play multiple people can play the same character. Sure. Margot Robbie does Harley Quinn so well that, like, why are we not using Margot Robbie?
Because it's not in the same universe, man.
I don't.
It's
not in the same single shit.
And they're gonna do
single.
It no, it doesn't, because they don't want her version of it. I don't think that I agree with this. Like, I love her as Harley Quinn, and I honestly don't care much about the Suicide Squad stuff in general. She's the only thing that I really liked. But with this, it just makes sense. I mean, their Joker is super different. And how do you follow Heath? And, like, you know what I mean? It just makes sense. You got to do something different. I will also say,
had to follow Heath because Heath wasn't able to follow Heath.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Margot Robbie's still kicking.
They wouldn't have used him in what they were trying to do.
Yeah,
like,
I guess that's fair.
I don't know. I'm curious to see it. The Joker movie is not, you know, like, I liked the movie, but I don't stand the movie the way that, like, so many people do. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Like, that movie was fine. I saw it once and I, you know, I had fun watching it. That's how I feel about it. So I'm curious, and a musical, fuck it.
I'm down with the musical part.
Yeah.
Todd Phillips is unique to me because Todd Phillips came from the comedy genre. Like, he did the Hangover movies.
Okay.
He's the guy that did the Hangover movies, and I think Due Date, if I'm not mistaken. And then he kills it. Joker's a, you know, I feel like an objectively good movie, and you know, it's not your favorite. It doesn't have to be your favorite.
No, it's good.
It's a good movie. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But yeah, so I mean, sure, take a swing. Let's see what happens. But God, is that just weird?
It's just so it's weird, strange. Well, I will also say that me personally, I have no problem with Lady Gaga in movies. I just haven't loved any of the movies that she's been in. Like, I don't know that it's her. Like, House of Gucci was, I liked House of Gucci more than you did, but it also was, it's dry. You know, it is dry. I didn't see whatever fucking one she did with
A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I never saw that. So yeah, I don't know. I'm down. Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'll have to see it to believe it. Sure. And then before we wrap this long intro up, this is gonna be a long episode. Probably the most exciting news, very, very cool stuff I just read not too long ago, earlier today. Genndy Tartakovsky, who did Dexter's Laboratory, Samurai Jack, He inks an overall deal with Cartoon Network Studios and Warner Brothers Animation, like a multi-year just overall deal for his work.
Dang
he
shit.
recently did Primal, which I still have not watched.
Dude, I watched like the first episode. Yes, I watched like the first two, and it was good.
The first episode was really good. And it won Emmys. You know, he's great at what he does. I also feel like the guy watched Samurai Jack all the way through, and the ending, you know, the way that they did the last season was really good. Yeah. I'm so excited. He's like an undeniable just force.
Oh, 100%. And also I'm ashamed of myself that I don't know all about this guy, but you said he did Dexter's Lab too.
He created Dexter's Lab. So Dexter's Lab was like the first like thing that he did that spurred, but it also was like one of the bigger things on.
So Cartoon Network used to be for everybody, small little animation, whatever, but Cartoon Network used to just be a hub to basically play old Hanna-Barbera reruns. And then they acquired all of these properties for these really old like superhero shows that didn't do really well. And one small little team decided, well, hey, well, we want to fucking like try to make something weird. Something and so they original. took the old Space Ghost show and they reworked it into Space Ghost Coast to Coast, which is basically the birth of Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. And then indirectly on Space Ghost, they started to show shorts. They started to show short animations. And some of the shorts that they showed were for shows that eventually became Powerpuff Girls, Johnny Bravo, and Dexter's Lab. And so all of those shows exist because of their premiere on Space Ghost. And then Dexter's Lab, the Cartoon Network took Dexter's Lab and decided that that was going to be the format, the feel, the vibe for what became 90s Cartoon Network, which is what Cartoon Network is. Cartoon Network would not be what we know it to be without Dexter's Lab.
Yeah.
So boom, they should pay him everything and let him do some crazy shit.
I agree. I'm glad that it's back with Cartoon Network. I'm glad that it's like, you know, it'll be Warner Brothers, so it'll be on HBO. Which is where all of his stuff is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super sick. I had to throw that in there because I know that we're both big fans.
Yeah, dude. You want to watch all of Samurai Jack?
Let's go. I did that within the past year or like 2 years. but yeah, we had to go over a bunch of stuff. The middle section of this episode, I don't know how long it's going to be, but Sean and I have a great thing that we're able to do on Sunday. Lincoln Center in New York City is showing, I think, 20 Dario Argento films, and Dario is going to be at a number of them. They are doing a world premiere of the 4K restoration of Phenomena, which is one of my favorite horror films. It's so good and just crazy. And he will be there after for a Q&A. So Sean and I are going to be there on Sunday. And we're going to record right after that and talk about how things are. Things went, what we thought. Sean's never seen Phenomena, so we're going to talk about that too.
Excited.
And then, like I said, we have a great game after that about our top five animals in films. So definitely stick around for the game. And that's all I got for this intro. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll be right back with thoughts on Phenomena.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car. It's the two-door coupe that was there for your first drive. The hatchback that took you cross-country and back. And the minivan that tackles the weekly carpool. For the cars you couldn't live without, trust Amica Auto Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
We're back. We just saw leading after the intro. I said we're about to go see Phenomena. We recorded that a couple days ago. Yeah. We just saw Phenomena at the Walter Reed Theater. Yes, films at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
It was also followed by a Q&A with the master of Italian horror, Dario Argento.
Sure. Was.
Before we talk about that, Sean, Phenomena. Thoughts.
Dude, that's one of the weirdest fucking movies I've ever seen in my life. I swear to God. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, Steve loves this one? And you do. You do. You've talked about it for a good amount of time. Yeah, it was. I've seen Suspiria. I've seen Deep Red. And now I've seen this. And I think that that's it. I don't know that I've seen any of his other movies. To be honest with you, it was really long and I didn't think I was going to like it for most of the movie, man. I was just kind of like, there were aspects of it that I liked. Obviously Donald Pleasance is awesome. You know, like just seeing him.
It was an Italian dub.
Yeah, it's fine. Dude, when he started, I was just telling you this on the walk home, but yeah, cause when it started, it was an Italian dub of this movie. That is one of his movies, maybe his only movie that's actually in fucking English. So Donald Pleasance starts talking and I'm like, I didn't know he knew Italian. And it just threw me off. I was like, look at Loomis, just full of surprises. It was just, everything was really slow and it took me a minute, but honestly, dude, it all is paid off for at the end. Yes. Like the last 25 minutes of that movie is a whole trip. Can we also just talk about how fucking, what is it? Every time something slow and creepy happens where Del Toro would play some like lullaby, Argento just goes, no, dude, fire in the flames. Like I want
Iron fucking, Maiden.
Yeah just says, nothing I'm but playing
Iron Maiden. Yeah.
And he would play the full song.
Yeah. There's like three songs that are used in the score of this film and they just are repeated to great effect. It's not normally the kind of movie I would like, and I agree, it definitely is slow. There's a lot of like just like walking scenes, like following scenes and like that sort of stuff that kind of just drags. It easily could be a 90 minute or less movie. It's just like weird, and it ticks all the right weird boxes for me. Like we're going to spoil a movie that came out in fucking 85 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like all of the different pieces of the story, like Jennifer Connelly's backstory. And then the fact that she's telepathic has a telepathic connection with insects. And then Donald Pleasance is in a wheelchair and his nurse is a monkey.
Yes.
And the monkey's fucking sick. Love the monkey in the movie. The monkey's one of my fucking favorite parts. And then you get this like weird, she also is a sleepwalker.
Yeah.
And then it has the great giallo elements of you know the stark shadows and the music and lots of canted angles and colorful imagery. You have crazy real insect moments, like real, lots of real insects.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like you said, the last 25 minutes is what really kicks it up for me. Like you get like, as soon as Jennifer is in the lady's house, I can't remember, what the fuck's her name? What's
the one?
Who did Nighthouse? What's his name?
Bruckner.
That's her name is Bruckner. That's why I was trying to remember it. Her name's Bruckner. So as soon as she's in Bruckner's house, everything that happens there is like phenomenal. Like takes the pill and throws it off. And then it's like freaking out and there's maggots on the walls and like stuff like that. And then fucking the lady goes away and then she's trying to like fish the telephone from the room out through the top of the door.
Yeah.
And it falls down the hole. Then she goes into the, like, just all of that. And then you got the shitty, disgusting pool of fucking gross.
The pool is what just really turned up the juice for me, man. I was like, so, oh, shit.
Her going into it and, like, straight up going under the water. And, like, you can tell she's, like, like, all of that. And then the fucking ugly babe, the baby with the deformity, the kid with the deformities. And then fucking, also, why? I know that they cover all the mirrors in the house, but like there's just a mirror in his room.
Right.
Like, just take that one out.
Yeah.
don't just cover that one. And then fucking the weird pole thing, the like he's small and so he stabs them with like a pole.
Yeah.
With a knife on the end. And then the fucking boat, dude. And then there's fire in the water. Mm-hmm. And then it's just so good. And then the monkey and then fucking Igna. Igna's the hero. What an amazing turn of events.
I think I just pieced together. So the kid is the one that was killing all the girls and the mom was just the defending the kid.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing that I didn't notice the first two times I saw this movie is all the POV shots of like the following shots.
Yeah.
At the beginning, especially with, her name's Sophie.
Sophie. Roommate,
yeah. Are all from a lower angle. Like they're like chasing, like when Sophie goes into the one building, the angle is from like the ground. So it's that the kid killing people. Yeah. Cause at the very beginning, the chains are like coming off of the walls and it's the kid that was chained up, which is fucked up that the kid was chained up.
It makes sense. That is fucked up. See, so now things are clicking now. I needed time to process. That is funny. Yeah, man. And I love the kid's mask, though, I got to say. But also, I find it really convenient always when a killer is really effective at killing until it comes time to kill the main character. Because he was just like spearing at her on the boat. I was like, just get one good one. I don't know, man. Yeah. But
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that Dario Argento said in talking about that pool scene, I just assumed that it was filled with a bunch of stuff that looked gross. But like it was a really gross thing. It had maggots
in it at least had bugs in it.
Yes.
And maggots and shit.
It makes me wonder what else was in it, what kind of soup exactly it was that he was brewing there, because that was just kudos to her. He said she was 13 when they made that movie.
Yeah, this is her first big movie. It was right before she did Labyrinth.
Right into this from this into Labyrinth. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so good. Her performance is so good.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. Go ahead.
He loves to just milk moments too. When she's standing there and the light's on her and the hair and is blowing and all of the flies are on the window, it just kept cutting. You could have stopped it.
You weren't gaining anything.
2 minutes. Just closer and closer shots of flies back to her for no reason.
There was one. Also the one part where she's walking down the hallway and the girl goes, Jennifer, sticks on her tongue or whatever. Like
we looked at each other like, she fucking got her ass,
fucking
man.
Got
roasted.
Said her name and stuck her tongue out. I just like, it's just the weirdest concoction of fucking strange like story elements, but it works so well. Like for me, I fucking love it. It's so fucking cool. Like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
That's fair. It makes me want to really deep dive into him, which I've been wanting to do for a minute, but
yeah, the three that you've mentioned are the three that I've like fully, I've seen, I watched Opera, but I wasn't fully paying attention. Mm-hmm. I actually still have Opera, but yeah. And he's done, I mean, at least Lincoln Center has 17 of his films that they're showing, including his new one that they're showing right now. But yeah, it's, I definitely want to get into his films. I really enjoyed hearing, and we'll talk about kind of part of his Q&A, but the insects in that movie are like all real. Like the boy, when at the end, when she has all the flies like attack him, essentially, like that's real. They had him like, They had him like covered in peanut butter, I think I read, and like they just let the flies at him.
And I was wondering if that was actually the little boy still, or if they had someone else standing in.
I think it's not a little boy. It's a 26-year-old little person.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure is what I read earlier. Someone had to do it. Also, another cool thing.
Yeah.
When the flies like blot out the moon and the sun and whatever. That was, I think they put coffee grounds in water and then they superimposed it.
That over, makes sense.
Like the image, which it looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks so
it did.
Good.
There are a lot of bugs in this movie. And one of the cool stories that he told us at the, at the Q&A after the fact was that in order to get all of those flies, he had this, like, what was it, like a barn or something? What did he have? He
it
had
was
like
a this theater.
A theater that, okay. Either way, but he had a place.
Like block, everything was like the windows were blocked out and stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He made a giant bug catcher, and he basically just put some larvae in there, and he would just keep adding meat, and over like weeks, made thousands of flies. And then when they were done shooting, he just like opened a window and let them all out.
He asked, they had an entomologist there, and they said, what do we do with them? And they said, just let them go.
I love that.
And then, the story ended with him saying that he went to a bar with his assistant, and there were flies all over the ceiling of the bar because the bar was warm.
It's amazing.
Which is so good. I also loved the person that was asking the questions, asked him about, about the insects and about how he was able to do all these great effects with live insects. And he said, he was like, and with no visual effects. And then he said, flies is flies, monkeys is monkeys.
Yes.
He said he did the whole interview in Italian, but that part he said, flies is flies, monkeys is monkeys.
Yep.
And that's, if we titled our episodes with quotes, that would be the quote, that would be the title of this episode.
I mean I don't think it's a bad idea. Flies is flies, flies monkeys is monkeys.
We'll put that as the subtitle.
Put it on a shirt. Have creative control on the shirts.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a good, flies is flies, monkeys is monkeys. But yeah, I think we should do more I think we should do a deep dive into Argento. I would like to watch more. I think that there's definitely, like, outside of his older stuff, as you know, I feel like things get more accessible too. And like, I'd like to watch Dracula 3D, which I didn't even fucking know
was
existed.
Thing.
Yeah. Like, you know, like that sort of stuff, I would be really interested in seeing. So,
I mean, I still think that overall doing deep dive into specific directors and creators and things like that, having like episodes that are we should do that with a handful of people.
Yeah, and we can.
And Dario would be a great place to start. I mean, he seems like he's getting up there, man.
Argento is 81.
Wow.
And we got to fucking see Dario Argento today.
And still kicking.
That's so crazy.
Just released a movie.
He co-wrote the screenplay for Once Upon a Time in the West, Sergio Leone's film. And then he also was George A. Romero's script consultant on Dawn of the Dead.
I didn't know that. That's fucking awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I was about to look up something about Argento, and I totally slipped my mind.
Real quick, random, completely. I just learned the other day that George Romero has an Easter egg like cameo in Silence of the Lambs. I've watched Silence of the Lambs a million fucking times, and I never noticed him. But he's one of the detectives that come in at a certain point when during around the time that he makes the like angel wings in the cage setup. It's like around there. He's like subduing someone in this. He doesn't say anything. You kind of just got to look for him off to the side, but it's George Romero. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
He's just there. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, that was all we wanted to do. We saw the movie. We saw a Q&A with Dario. It was really interesting. And honestly, so sick that we got to see a Q&A. With a man that's 81 years old,
right,
and has this amazing
horror icon.
A horror icon. He has, you know, he basically instilled the giallo subgenre of horror in kind of the mainstream. Like, Suspiria is so important to the genre as a whole. We wanted to chat about that. And then also I told Sean and Chelsea I wanted to do a top five about the top five animal performances in movies, but I couldn't explain why. And so I'm glad that you got to see Inga in that movie.
Yeah.
I wish I could have chosen Inga as one of my picks in our top five.
But you actively couldn't.
I couldn't, because I couldn't explain it. So when you guys are listening to our top five that comes after this, just know I wanted to pick Inga. I couldn't. Also, if you haven't seen Phenomena, it was on Shudder the last time that I checked, and I also think his new film is going to be on Shudder as well.
Nice.
Pretty sure they got the rights to it.
So watch those. Watch Suspiria. Overall, watch more foreign horror. We can't say it enough. All right, step outside your boxes. Get a little weird, and
And yeah, hope you guys enjoy our game, our top five animals in films. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, snack lovers. Curb your cravings with My Mochi ice cream. Imagine a scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream in your favorite flavor. Now imagine that scoop wrapped up in the sweetest, softest dough known to mankind. That's My Mochi ice cream. Sweet, chewy, cool, and creamy, all in one bite. It's quite possibly the most joyfully chill sensation you've ever had in your life. My Mochi ice cream comes in tons of fabulous flavors, like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are about 80 calories each, and it's also gluten-free. You can find My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a grocery store near you. That's MyMochi.com. Discover the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
All right, we're back with another game. We are playing in honor of Phenomena, which we're playing this game before Sean or Chelsea have seen the movie. But we are doing top five animals in films. Chelsea and I were talking earlier. I'd like to keep it constrained to real animals in the films. So kind of like top five, you know, animal performances in films. If we need to use creative liberty, that's fine.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that's what we have to roll with right now. Sean, because you're back.
I am back.
Do you want to go first? Chelsea can go second. I'll go third.
Okay. All right. I'm not really worried about any of my shit getting stolen, if I'm being honest.
No?
No. I think I went out of the box enough.
I'm glad to hear that, because I'm very worried about most of mine getting stolen.
Really?
Yeah.
I have 13 different options for myself. Damn. So I think I'm okay.
I have 6 that I can think of stuff on the fly.
What's your first one?
Okay. So I'm gonna get one out of the way that could have gotten picked up. This is like the only one I'm really that worried about. So I am going to pick. It's an odd one. Tell me if this is cheating. I feel like it's not, but I'm going to pick the 4 St. Bernards that played Cujo in the movie Cujo.
Nice. Cujo was on my list.
Really? Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's I couldn't find their names anywhere, but there were 4 St. Bernards that did it. A Black Labrador Great Dane mix, and there's also the stuntman Gary Morgan wore a costume for some of it, and they also had. They had like a mechanical dog thing too that have all played him in the movie. They used all those different things, right? I was blown. I was like, who's the dog that played Cujo into Google? And he's like, there ain't one. There's a million billion of them.
It's a bunch.
I feel like it's rare that one dog or like one animal plays all of the roles. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you have babies in a movie and it's like twins play the baby.
Yes, I think it depends. It depends on the role and how like demanding it is. And I feel like there's multiple things. Like for Cujo, it makes a lot of sense. But I don't know. I think that there's other movies where I don't want to tell you my other movies, but there's other movies where animals are so like it would be hard to find one that looked exactly like this one.
I guess that's
right. And they're very trained. So I don't know. But either way, so that's my pick. That's a scary movie. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
Scary I haven't dog. Seen Cujo in a long time.
Yeah,
so I gotta re-up on it.
D Wallace, dude. Let's get her on the show.
Nuts. Chelsea.
Cool.
Chelsea. go ahead with your pick.
Speaking of D's nuts, transition. Okay, got it.
Great segue.
okay. I guess the one that I'm most concerned about getting taken, so I should go with that first. So I'm gonna pick Black Phillip.
Oh, good.
I didn't have Cujo or Black Phillip on my list.
Wow. I would have thought for certain that Steve, you had Black Phillip. So I'm actually glad to hear that.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
He is, I think the goat's name is Charlie. And he was apparently kind of difficult to work with. I was reading that either he was either like very chill or in like attack mode.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And
it sounds like that's what black goats would be. Like, yeah. I feel like they wouldn't be chill regardless.
Definitely. So very, very like tied to the character, which I think also helps.
Interesting. I don't know how I didn't pick Cujo or Black Phillip as either of my character or picks.
I'm shocked that Black Phillip did not come to my mind. Did not even cross it. Great pick though. Iconic imagery will go down as one of the famous animals, you know, especially in the horror verse.
Especially no question. Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
I don't know if I'm gonna have any horror picks. I honestly only have one.
I have a few.
All right. Well, I feel like mine is one of the most famous animals in a film ever. I'm going to go with Toto, the dog from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Toto is, I feel like that it was one of the first ones that like when I just thought of an animal in a film, I thought of Toto. It was played by one dog. The dog's name was Terry. I read, and I don't know if this is true. So Terry was a Cairn Terrier. And I read that Toto, I don't know if dogs can get paid, but I think that the person who owned them got paid $125 a week, their salary, which is equivalent to $2,400 a week in 2022. It's more than the majority of the actors in the film. And it's over double what all of the little people got paid in the movie.
Wow.
God.
Holy shit.
There's a lot of fucked up stuff, which we can talk about on another episode regarding the little people in The Wizard of Oz. But yeah, the dog's name was Terry, who played Toto. And I think they changed the dog's name to Toto, like in real life, which I feel like you can't do that with a dog, really. You can't just like up and change their name. But yeah, and Toto has their own memorial in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles.
That's cool as shit.
Because of how important, obviously, that dog is.
Well, yeah, clearly.
And they were in so many other movies, like so many movies. There's so many movies on their credit list. So Terry the Cairn Terrier. Oof.
Well, what are some of the other flicks?
I mean, we should check out movies. Yeah, so I'm going to go in chronological order. We have, starting in 1934, these first couple are uncredited. All right, actually, a lot of them are uncredited, but still in it. We got Ready for Love, Bright Eyes, The Dark Angel, Fury, The Buccaneer, Barefoot Boy, Stablemates, The Wizard of Oz, credited as Toto, The Women as Fighting Dog at Beauty Shop, Bad Little Angel, Calling Philo Vance, The Ghost Comes Home, Son of the Navy, The Old Swimming Hole, The Chocolate Soldier, Rings on Her Fingers, Twin Beds, Tortilla Flat, George Washington Slept Here, The Heavenly Body, Adventures of Rusty, and last but not least, Easy to Look At.
At least half of those could have been porn titles.
Right. Tortilla Flat is a... I don't know about that one, man.
It's a 1942 romantic comedy.
Interesting.
My favorite of those was Bad Little Angel. I hope that's just like him getting into like some snacks he wasn't supposed to or something.
Right. His name was Rex in that movie.
Interesting.
It's an inspirational drama about an orphan. Anywho, Toto's my choice. R.I.P. Toto. And Sean, who you got for your number two?
Let's see here. Let me take a look at the list.
God. I'm on this episode.
Listen, man, no one gets to yell at me about anything for like 4 months. I'm going to pick. Can I pick? Well, so this is a last minute pick. So because I just thought of it, but I can't find the name of the actor cat, but I would like to pick the black cat that played Thackeray Binks in Hocus Pocus.
Nice.
Yeah.
Black cat.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Thackeray.
Well, not in the movie.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying.
I want to find its actual name.
That movie, I've probably referenced that movie a million times on the show. I'll continue to do so. I honestly am stoked on Hocus Pocus 2, and I know I've talked about that, but like, run it.
Do we think that in the new one they're going to use, they'll use CGI for it, right?
Thackeray shouldn't be in the movie. I would be shocked if Thackeray's in the movie. I think it won't involve him. I don't know what the plot is going to be at all. I'm just assuming someone else lights the candle. We're going to get new characters that light the candle, probably.
I can't find the name of the cat who played Thackeray.
Well, what?
Wow, I just found something out. Anywho, what? Nothing. I'll tell you in a minute. All right. Thackeray's a good pick. Chelsea, go ahead, and then I'll reveal what actually happened.
I would like to pick the bees in Candyman.
Damn it.
Was that really a pick you were going to do?
Yeah, that's one of mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair. In terms of like best performance by an animal, they're providing A+ discomfort and scares.
Yeah.
So I just, what more can you ask for? I was also reading, and I think we've discussed this before, but, Tony Todd reportedly asked for like $1,000 bonus every time he got stung, and he got stung 23 times.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So good for him. That's pretty cool.
It's so sick that they used real bees, and like that's all like in his mouth, and like all of that shit is real.
Yep, and it's all so real. Good. Which makes it even more horrifying.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's the totally thing. Agree. I want that commitment back in movies.
Yeah.
CGI bees do not hit the same. CGI bugs on people do not hit the same.
Not even close.
This is, Steve, did you, so I listened to the previous episode where I am not on, and you talked a little bit about Stranger Things, and you literally said, don't listen. So I skipped. How much did you talk about it?
About Stranger Things?
Yeah.
I just said don't listen because I was going to talk about Men.
Men, that's what it was. Never mind, you're right.
I don't talk, I only talk a little bit about Stranger Things, I think. I just kind of talk about why it's so good.
This isn't a spoiler, is the point of what but there's like a little thing here. They had some CGI bugs in the newest season, and it was fine. It didn't upset me at all. Like they just were a little too shiny, I think is the thing. If you would have just turned that down a bit.
The non scenery CGI, because obviously a lot of Stranger Things has environmental is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Non-environmental CGI is a little too polished. Like a lot of it is like, just a little too nice looking for what it's supposed to be, but I'm used to that now. So when I saw the spiders, I was like, yeah, that's just kind of how the CGI in Stranger Things looks. Right. But I agree with you. Yeah,
it's just funny because I get it. You're trying to make it perfect, and I think maybe you get lost in it because you make it too perfect. It's like you almost had it so real looking. Bees is a great pick.
I agree. I agree with the bees. All right. So the thing that I was going to tell you. I was going to go based off of a headline that I saw when I was looking up Thackeray. So the thing that I saw about Thackeray is that the headline says, Hocus Pocus fans just realizing Thackeray is the same cat from my number two choice, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I was going to say they look identical.
But the thing about that is that they're puppets.
Yes.
So I'm going to take liberty. I'm sure that they're played by cats in some instances where they move around.
Well, yes.
The main thing is played by a puppet. I'm going to choose Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch to go along with Sean's pick because I feel like it fits. It's obviously played by a cat at a point in the show. Obviously, Salem's very important to the show, Talking Cat. And also, one of the things that I liked the most about, like, that I was afraid of with the Sabrina series, which, like, veered off and I stopped caring about it. But one of the things I really enjoyed was Salem's parts. I thought that they did Salem, like, a really interesting way.
Yes.
But yeah, I definitely think Salem in the old Sabrina the Teenage Witch TV show is a great cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way that they did Salem in the new, like, dude, when he comes in and he's hiding behind the door, so fucking cool.
So cool.
And I was just upset because they just kind of needed him there. Like, I get it. It makes sense. Like going the familiar route and the way that they went about it was very cool, but they should have at least used him more, because what they basically did, and I don't know if the comics did this or what the original Archie comics for Sabrina do and don't have, you know, my reference is the, Melissa Joan Hart. Is that?
Yeah.
Is her show. They basically, like, Ambrose is Salem. Like, that's the part he's supposed to play. It's literally the same sort of storyline of, like, a wizard that's, like, under house arrest for whatever. Salem is a wizard who was turned into a cat for, like, 1,000 years.
Got you. And they just want him. They wanted a human character that they could bounce off of, as opposed to her doing it, but not doing, talking to a cat.
A cat all the time. Yeah. But I don't know if that, like, if the Archie ones have the same thing, or if the Chilling Adventures series has the same thing or not, or if it's just something they did for the show. But either way, I would have been more okay with that decision if you did other cool shit with Salem, which at least in season one you didn't do, and they never finished season two.
They don't do a lot of really cool stuff, and honestly, that show turned into, like, a teen drama more than anything else.
I was not a fan of that show.
I wanted to, I was so excited for like 2 years before it came out.
Me too. And
I was into it. I definitely was into it, but it definitely fell off for me, like, hard.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Salem is my choice, which leads us to Sean. Number three, who would it be? I have so many good people that I could choose, and I don't know who to pick. Fuck. You guys take some of mine, so I know.
I don't think I'm going to take anyone else's anything. I'm going to pick the golden retriever, the dog in the Goosebumps intro specifically. And he's in the Barking Ghost episode too.
Okay.
Talking about some burr, 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 burr. That's it. There isn't a lot to that. He literally turns his head and they do a really shitty, like, special effect of eyes over him. That's my boy, dude. God. I don't care what anyone says. The intro, dude, the intro like, creepy kid shows are the intro to Are You Afraid of the Dark? Amazing. The intro to the Goosebumps, like, that song, iconic.
It's a bust.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a good pick. Thank you. I don't know where I thought you were going with that, but you said Golden Retriever, and then I wasn't expecting Goosebumps. Unimpeachable, though. It's definitely a good selection.
Thank you.
Chelsea, who do you got?
I would like to pick the mouse/mice that played Mr. Jingles in The Green Mile.
Which, really quick, can we explore? You just saw The Green Mile for the first time recently.
Very recently, yep.
Why don't you tell the people what you thought?
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's devastating. It's one of the only times where I've watched a movie that's, like, longer than 2 hours and been like, I could take more. If you wanted to give more of this movie, I'd be happy to watch another hour of it.
Yes.
I fucking loved it.
Yep. Yep. Amazing performances all around. Yes. Devastating. It's so sad.
Yes.
Some of it's the
really
meanest.
Hard.
Yeah. Dude, I hate the the guy who played Percy just did such a good job of making you hate him. And the one that played Billy the Kid or whatever.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, yeah.
Yeah. He's good at those
Sam
roles.
Insane. Rockwell, yeah, dude. I love Sam Rockwell.
And it's funny. Like, you'll laugh your ass off and then cry the next minute. It's fun.
Yes, you get everything from it.
Those
laugh, you cry. It's perfect.
Yes.
Those non-horror Stephen King stories are also good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's really not anything bad about them.
Agreed.
All right, Mr. Jingles, The Green Mile. I wonder how many mice played Mr. Jingles.
I think it said more than 30. They just trained him to they trained him to like go to a bowl of food. So that's how they made it look just perspective and stuff.
And all mice kind of look the same as long as they're the same size.
And they had some animatronic mice for when they were doing like the violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right. So when Sean said golden retriever, I got scared because my choice is I'm going with famous dogs here. I think the most famous golden retriever of all time, in my opinion.
Yep.
Air Bud.
Knew it.
Air Bud.
Classic.
I did some research at work earlier today. Air Bud, they don't know when he was born. They just found this dog. And legitimately, I don't know if you guys know this, they trained this dog, like the owner, trained this dog to play sports. Like straight up, it wasn't just a dog that was like in the movie trained to do things. Like the dog
this is real
played
life.
Straight up played like basketball, baseball, football, soccer, hockey, like loved to do any kind of like activity, like really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And so the dog was on America's Funniest Home Videos, on David Letterman, and then got casted in Air Bud. And obviously Air Bud's, you know, the first one is about basketball, but I think in the other Air Bud movies he plays like volleyball and something else. But just a gorgeous, gorgeous golden retriever. Was also in Fluke, the movie Fluke, and was also in an episode of Full House. And also any dog that plays basketball is the coolest dog ever. So Air Bud is my selection. Also his name was Buddy, which like, come on.
Buddy, that movie used to make me cry. That movie is so good. Dude, talk about a franchise that just didn't need. I understand the dog can do cool tricks and we're gonna milk it. But just if they would have just made the one, why do we got Air Buddies? We got a lot of stuff after that. And also, do you think that hurt his nose? Because that's how he was doing it, dude. He was just smashing his face into a basketball. Is it a lighter basketball? Because you ever catch a basketball wrong and it like bends your finger in?
Bends your finger.
Yeah, it hurts.
Fuck that, man. Imagine that on your nose.
A little snoot. Oh.
Yeah, I feel like it knew like when to time it, you know? Like I feel like there was no, it didn't hurt him because
he was trained to do it, then I'm sure that they handled it right. You know, they had a way of doing it right. It wasn't one when I was like looking up when I was trying to make my list, I was getting a lot of lists of like animals that were harmed on set. And just by the nature of like Googling those. Like get that away from me, please. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
But I never noticed that one on any of the lists. So I feel like we'd know a little bit if he was mistreated.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he was mistreated. It looks like he led a great golden retriever life, which is my favorite thing to hear. So Air Bud is my third choice. I got fucking bangers on this list, dude. I'm so excited for my last two. All right, Sean, let's see what obscurity you got with this animal. I'm glad that we all actually got like real animals.
It was easier than I thought it would be.
If you were around in 1994, I think it's 94. It's 94, 96. You ever stumbled your way through the VHS aisle of your closest jumbo video, and you saw a movie with a girl with a backwards hat hanging out with a seal? You might know of a little flick called Andre, and I'm going to pick the sea lion named Tori, who played the seal Andre in the movie Andre.
Andre the seal?
Dude,
I have no
is that a fever dream you had?
Dude, it's look up the movie Andre, and it's based on a fucking true story. It's just a girl that like literally befriended a seal.
This movie's great. Has a backwards hat.
Yep. Oh, it's the most 90s shit you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I used to watch that. I'm talking, it's 1997. Little Sean's got a bag of marshmallows, some VHSs scattered about the floor. We're talking movies like A Goofy Movie, Andre, babysitter club, and it's a party, dude. And this was my childhood. Wow.
I want to be Andre for Halloween.
Do it.
It's funny because I was like, wow, this movie's directed by George Miller, who did like Mad Max. No, it's not. It's a different George Miller. thank Christ.
No, it's the George Miller that did Andre.
exactly. Yeah. No, this is wild.
There's no such thing as that much range.
Yeah. Budget of $8 million, made $16 million.
Well, good for it. That seals living lush.
Dude, Andre's the shit. It's a good movie. It's a good flick.
Cool. Never heard of Andre, but that just by the looks of the seal is a good choice.
Yep, I think it
has only ever existed on fucking VHS. I've only ever seen like faded VHS copies of that movie.
Yeah, that didn't make it to DVD. No way.
So good.
I'll find one, don't worry. All right.
Get the box, the Blu-ray. Yeah, steel book. There you go. Couldn't think
Criterion
of the word.
Collection.
Yeah.
Jesus. You can recommend films that you think should be on the Criterion Collection. So you should send a submission of Andre.
You can make a petition to send to him or something.
Yeah. Already done.
Okay. So Andre, played by Tori the Sea Lion, is Sean's fourth selection. Chelsea, who do we got for number four?
The Lizards in Holes.
Nice.
Wow. Oh yes. My God, this sound effect.
Yeah, I was about to say that was just my Etsy going off, but
it sounded like a banjo that was playing, which like fit with holes. Wow, that was really good.
Yes. They're actually bearded dragons.
Bearded dragons.
Obviously those don't exist. And one thing that I really like about them in the context of this draft is they really like portray that they're good judges of character. Mm-hmm. Which isn't something that's like necessarily said in the film, that like these lizards know who's good and bad, which leads me to believe that it's an acting choice by the lizards. For that reason, I think that they belong in this draft.
Fair.
That
Fair.
Makes sense. They only not attack Zero and Shia LaBeouf because of
I guess it is because of the onions, right?
Oh, the onions, is that what it is? But also it could be both.
Yeah, I haven't read Holes since fourth grade, something like that.
I also didn't he encounter them before that in the movie get him? I can't remember.
Something.
Either way, they're like rocking and rolling you'd want them to be in that movie. So
yeah. Fun fact about bearded dragons, when I was growing up, my dad had one. And they're really cool. They're chill. You can pet them all the time. Shout out to Ellie Bishop. I see her pictures of her bearded dragon all the time, just chilling. But yeah, we used to get crickets and like throw them, not like alive ones, but dead ones, and like throw them across the room. And then Spike was his name. Spike would race across the floor and go grab them. Yeah.
We should get one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Know. Yeah.
Dude, it'll eat both of the cats and all of our problems will be solved.
No more problems.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
Gotta get one.
All right. We'll talk about it after this. all right. So the Lizards from Holes, played by Anonymous. God, I have so many good choices. I'm going to probably just have to honorable mention a bunch of them. I'm going to go with the Owls that played Hedwig in the Harry Potter films.
I thought of that too.
So the main owl is his name is Gizmo, but they're stunt replacements, assuming like flying replacements. Their names are Ook, Sprout, Casper with a K, Swoops, O-O, Elmo, and Bandit. So there's a lot of owls playing Hedwig. And then I think written in the movie, Hedwig's supposed to be a female owl.
Yeah.
But they're all played by male owls.
Yeah.
Sexism. Got it.
Well, I don't think that like the look, the way that Hedwig was described, I don't think is a look that you get from girl snowy owls.
Right. They
Think they
girl snowy
different.
Owls have a lot of black on them, like black marks.
Yeah.
And also the male ones are smaller. So the kid actors, like, you know, Harry was able to handle a smaller owl. Ook was the first cast member to be chosen for a role in the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or Sorcerer's Stone, as we know.
Interesting.
So yeah, we got we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different owls playing Hedwig.
Damn,
in nice. These movies.
Can we also say that that is, spoiler alert, everybody, if you're not a, if you're not deep in the
Potterhead.
Yeah, if you're not a Potterhead, the most devastating death in that entire, books, the movies, the books, it, I remember cry. If you turn to the page that happens on, that page is just warped to shit. Cause I just cried right onto the text, man. It's, there are some sad deaths in that throughout the whole series, but that's the one that ruined my life.
I don't give a shit about spoilers because it's Harry Potter and you should have read it by now, but doesn't Hedwig get killed by like protecting Harry?
Yeah. From, it's like, when it's right at the beginning of Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
There, it's when they're flying through the air, when they're getting him out of the house. And yeah, just takes an Avada Kedavra that was headed right towards Harry and falls to the ground, and he doesn't even see him. Like, he doesn't go to go get him later. You know what I mean?
That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's so, so sad.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, ending my Hedwig on the sad note.
Yeah.
That's my number 4 choice. Sean, wrap up your list. What do you got?
Oh, this is hard. Okay. I'm going to go with, I don't know what kind of dog he was, but his name is Rattler. His actual name is Rattler. Rattler, that played Chance in Homeward Bound. Because Homeward Bound is the shit. Homeward Bound is the shit. I've actually never seen the original. It's a remake. I only found out it was a remake like 2 years ago. Whenever Disney Plus came out, I was like, wait, because there's a movie called The Long Journey Home, I think is what it's called. And Homeward Bound is just, or The Incredible Journey or something like that. And it's, yeah, it's a remake and they're both based off of novels. And I think the first one came out in the 70s or the 60s.
Whoa. Because I was going to say Homeward Bound is like not, I mean, Homeward Bound is old.
Yeah, it's a remake. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. That's the year I was born.
I didn't know that. Yeah, because the movie's actually called Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
The Incredible Journey. There you go.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I want to see the original. And also, that movie is impressive as shit. You want to talk about like the work? I don't think that the animals were harmed at any point, but you know what I mean? No. I want to like look into it all. But you want to talk about like cool shit. Like there's no CGI and those, there, it's not just animals sitting in a spot and a lot of dialogue. Like they have them traveling all over the place.
Yeah. Long journey.
They have them. Yeah, it is. It, and their interactions are pretty legitimate and they don't bother with trying to make it look like their mouths are moving. It's so unimportant. Yeah, man, it's that movie's fucking amazing. Haven't seen it in a couple of years.
I was gonna say I haven't seen it either, but I do remember watching it when I was younger.
Same.
Yeah.
Played by Michael J. Fox, by the way. Chance was played by both Rattler and Michael J. Fox.
Nice.
Yep. Oh, I was like,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Michael J. Fox is in the best dog suit you've ever seen.
Voiced by Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, Rattler, who plays Chance in Homeward Bound. All right, Chelsea, 5th pick. Who do we got?
I'm torn between a couple. I guess I'm going to go with John Wick's dog, Daisy the dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because she's such a perfect catalyst for, I mean, what became a massive franchise.
I was going to say John Wick's first dog.
Yes. Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good pick.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh. I mean, I don't have a ton to say about it. The dog's name was Andy in real life, I saw.
No,
yeah, it just really sets off like a fucking adventure.
I was going to say quite possibly the most important dog on this entire list.
To its movie.
Like, yes. I don't think any of these movies could exist without, or I think all of these movies could exist without their character except for Daisy.
Yep.
John Wick's dog. Wow. Yeah. That's a good one. There's so many animals in movies that I didn't even think about, and that's like fucked up that I didn't think about. All right, are you guys ready for the cherry on top, the best possible choice that I could choose? I didn't look all of these up, but definitely the only pick of mine that has its own IMDb page. We're talking the bear from Borat. Charlie the bear from Borat. Also
of
seen
course.
In 2016's The Unseen and 2004's A Bear Named Winnie.
Okay, the Charlie, bears stay working.
The right. bears stay working. The bear's not working no more, I don't think. But not only is Borat one of the best pieces of cinema ever created.
Fucking Christ.
It's a bear that is bought strictly for the purposes of Borat's car not being stolen. I should also add that Borat's car that he doesn't want to be stolen is a now defunct ice cream machine. The bear is the only person that doesn't leave. When Azamat Bagatov leaves Borat, the bear doesn't, dude. The bear stays, and then he lets him go, you know, be free. I release you, is what he says.
Fantastic.
So Charlie the Bear is could have easily been my number one overall pick, but I felt like I could hold him until the very end.
Yeah, for sure. You could save that one until the end.
Do you guys have any honorable mentions? Because I have like six.
Yeah, I have a few. Sean, do you have any?
Yeah, I do. You want to go first, though?
Sure. The Tina the Llama and Napoleon Dynamite.
Nice! Oh. That fat lard.
Wow.
Yeah, we got some, like, quality quotes from from her.
God, all
she had to do
so
was eat her
many.
Dinner, and she did it flawlessly. The Fly in The Fly.
Okay.
Like, completely believable acting choices from The Fly.
It's so stupid.
The chimps in 28 days later. Shut up, right?
Committed.
Yeah, chimps, really entering the space he doesn't belong in. I buy it. The chimps in 28 days later and any of the sharks that were used in Jaws.
Yeah. I was thinking about the sharks in Jaws, but I was like,
yeah. They did Jaws some cool
I was going to say he's so like, they focus so much on the animatronics and draws.
Yeah.
I was like, even if people play them, it's not as like crazy, but still so good.
I was reading that they tried to do some like cool perspective stuff by getting like a very small man. Like, so it would make a 15-foot shark look like a 30-foot shark, but the shark attacked the empty cage before the man got into it. And so then he was too scared to go into it.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense. If it was anything like The Wizard of Oz, if they had a little person and a shark, the shark would get paid three times as much as the little person.
Yeah, even if he ate the person. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then the little person would get paid nothing.
Never in my fucking life could you get me to go in a shark cage.
Never?
You talked about it. Never. Dude, you could be like, we'll cover the rest of your student loan payments. I'd be like, I've seen this movie, bro. I've seen
this
movie.
You wouldn't
no,
even
No, dude.
If I was
I'm
like,
telling
I would give
you
$300,000.
Nope.
Wow.
No. No way. No way. No way.
I'd go swimming no cage for $300,000.
Nah. Nope. If it's like, I'll put it this way. If it's, you might be able to get me to do it. If it's like, yeah, there's going to be some hammerheads. It's going to be some bull sharks. It's going to be the weird little cookie cutter bitch. But dude, a great white. Never in my fucking, you can tell me all the statistics in the world. I don't care. No. You could show me, dude, fucking jet fuel doesn't even melt steel beams, but this fucking shark is coming shark. Right through this cage. I swear to God, I've seen the movie. I've seen it. I'm not doing it.
That's fair. I would do it for that much money. All right, Sean, do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. So we're going to start off on a sad note. Or kind of a fucked up note. I'm going to mention just the animals from Cannibal Holocaust that were actually killed in that movie.
I forgot about that.
Yep. That movie is obviously crazy if you don't know much about it. The director was actually pulled into court because they thought that he actually killed the actors in that movie, and he had to like present them and be like, no, it's just a fucking movie. But it was made to be a snuff film, basically, to look like a snuff film, to feel like one. They killed I don't know what this is, a coati, C-O-A-T-I, but it's usually mistaken for a muskrat. They killed it with a knife. They killed an R. Well, I can't pronounce any of these. Andre. No, A-R-R-A-U turtle. An Ara turtle.
Oh, an Ara turtle. Coatis are so pretty. Like they look like if lemurs were stupid.
Well, this one was stabbed to death with a knife. The turtle was decapitated. and its limbs, shell, and entrails removed. A tarantula killed with a machete, a boa constrictor also killed with a machete, and a squirrel monkey decapitated with a machete. All those animals really died, like no anything. Yeah. And that is something.
Isn't that movie the reason they made like rules for like?
I think so. It very well could be.
I think I read that.
Yeah, that should have never happened. And also other weird little random fact that it's just making me think about. But in like magic history, like stage magicians, they used to kill animals all the time. There's a ton of different ways to make different birds and rabbits and things disappear. And it looks really good, you know, like it's so fast. But it, unfortunately, the animal dies in the process. And then when they reproduce it, it's another one.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's like a whole thing about it. But
that's so
luckily they don't do that. Yeah, I don't understand how at any point anybody could ever do anything like that for any type of art or anything.
Kill a person first.
Super fucked up. Yeah. And I don't know, my other little bits were going to be, I was going to say Bruce from Jaws, and I was just going to go animatronic at that point because
he
did a great job. Yep. He did and the husky or the huskies in The Thing was going to be my other one when they turn into that first whatever monster.
That's a good one.
But those are thems.
All right. I'm going to rattle off mine really quick. In the movie Snakes on a Plane, there were 43 real snakes used on that plane.
That's pretty cool. 43 too many.
Pretty cool. A number higher than 43 is 101, and that's how many Dalmatians are in the movie. I don't know how many Dalmatians are used in that movie, but the fucking Dalmatians from 101 Dalmatians, so good. I love how Dalmatians look. Most of Life of Pi is like very heavy CGI. Richard Parker, the Bengal tiger, is mostly CGI, but they did use a Bengal tiger to like get its, you know, feel and measurement and that sort of stuff. So I think it was
the motion capture actor. Tiger.
Andy Serkis, probably. I have no idea, but if anyone did mocap, it's Andy Serkis. We probably got the orca from Free Willy. I don't know the name. I didn't do any research because these are honorable mentions. Have you guys ever seen the movie Keanu with Key and Peele?
No.
It's about a cat that gets lost. It's like a little kitten. Very funny because it's Key and Peele. The cat Keanu is a choice. The squirrels from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the modern Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, are real squirrels in the nutcracking scene. They're legitimate squirrels that are trying to crack nuts. And then I can't believe no one chose this, but the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
I thought of it.
Very real animal that we all should have picked.
Yes. So.
Interesting. Well, damn.
So those are mine.
Good list.
Good picks. Yeah.
Y'all's got yours. This is probably the draft with the most options that I've ever had. I can't believe that I was able to find this many choices.
Right.
So
fair.
These were good. Good job, guys. I guess we'll wrap it up there. If you guys were listening, thank you as always for listening. Go listen to us on Wondery or Amazon Music if you guys want to listen to episodes a week before they actually come out for all the plebes that are listening to this on Spotify or iTunes like I do.
The plebes,
the fucking peons that are listening to this show on Spotify. How dare you, dude? You're an episode behind, a day late, a dollar short. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Mostly Horror Movie Night and on Twitter at Mostly Horror. And we will catch you guys next week.
Goodbye.
If you like Mostly Horror, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcast.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
In May of 1980, near Anaheim, California, Dorothy Jane Scott noticed her friend had an inflamed red wound on his arm and seemed unwell. She insisted on driving him to the local hospital to get treatment. While he waited for his prescription, Dorothy went to grab her car to pick him up at the exit, but would never be seen alive again, leaving us to wonder, decades later, what really happened to Dorothy Jane Scott? From Wondery, Generation Y is a podcast that covers notable true crime cases like this one and many more. Every week, hosts Aaron and Justin sit down to discuss a new case, covering every angle and theory, walking through the forensic evidence and interviewing those close to the case to try to discover what happened. And with over 450 episodes, there's a case for every true crime listener. Follow the Generation Y podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.